Good morning and welcome to Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Susan DeVincent here with Yvonne Ermey, and today we're talking about something especially important to women. It's a disease that claims more women's lives than all forms of cancer combined, cardiovascular disease.
February is American Heart Month, and in studio today we have Stacey Weaver, Executive Director of the American Heart Association, and Aaron Bizak of Tri-City Medical Center, Chief External Affairs Officer and Cardiovascular Disease Survivor. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stacey, can we go back to that stat I mentioned just a moment ago, that cardiovascular disease costs more women's lives than all cancers combined? That is just stunning.
It is. And you know what's more stunning than that? 80% of it is preventable. So just with Living Life Simple 7, which is American Heart Association's campaign, knowing your blood pressure, cholesterol, glucose numbers, eating well, moving more, losing weight, and eliminating tobacco, 80% of the deaths associated to heart cardiovascular disease can be prevented.
Do you think most people do know their numbers? Because I feel like they don't.
Unfortunately, no, they don't. And that's why Heart Month is so critical for American Heart Association, is to bring awareness around understanding those numbers and understanding what to do to prevent heart disease.
So I know that this is a disease that affects women especially, and I read that the disease among younger women is on the rise. Can you explain why is that happening?
Well, a couple different things that we know about women's health. Heart disease presents differently in women. And so very often, women, based on their stresses, the daily activities, those seven life simple steps that we talked about just a minute ago, they don't present the same for women. And women tend to ignore some of the symptoms that come with heart disease. And so understanding what those symptoms are, understanding what they need to do to ensure that they get in front of their doctors before heart disease takes control is extremely important.
I think that's a strong message because, like, for instance, I'm in my mid-30s and I haven't thought about that really at all. I mean, it's not really been on my radar, and I actually don't think I went to the doctor last year. I haven't been to the doctor in like a year, you know.
Why is there such a difference between the focus on women and men here? Because a lot of men are probably wondering that.
Heart disease does affect both equally. It is the number one killer in America for both men and women. The campaign around women really started years ago, actually 15 years ago, because we really wanted to elevate the understanding that women didn't understand that they were affected by heart disease equally to what men were affected. And again, because it presents a little differently in women, we wanted to make sure that they understood what did that look like and when did they need to be in front of the doctors. As a mother of five children, I power through things that I don't even realize are affecting my body every single day. And it's very often my children first, my family first,
sure,
and then my health second.
A lot of busy moms trying to balance kids, the house, maybe a career, often put themselves last. And that can manifest as anything from not getting enough sleep at night to not getting yourself to the doctor enough, even though you make sure it's a priority when it comes to your kids. Erin, I'd like to turn to you now. I know you're a survivor. Can you share your story? Because I understand it was very recent.
Yeah, my second foray into heart procedures happened just about 3 weeks ago. My problems started when I was a kid. I was symptomatic of having heart issues. I would become lightheaded and dizzy and weak while playing baseball. But when I was a kid, I had either no insurance or I had Medi-Cal. And so there really wasn't any incentive for them to find out what was going on. And it wasn't until I became an emergency medical technician, I was working on an ambulance, that it was actually found one day. And it was found kind of by a fluke. I had my sunglasses hanging on my uniform shirt, and I was talking to a nurse at an emergency room, giving a turnover report for a patient I'd brought in, and she noticed that my glasses were bouncing as my heart was beating.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding.
No, and she asked me, she said, "What is that?" I said, "That's my heart." I never really thought much of it. And she took me into the trauma room, actually, at the hospital and hooked me up, and that's where they found my condition. I had a congenital heart defect called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, which is extra electrical pathways in the heart. And so I ended up having have surgery for that. I had 11 extra pathways in my heart, and then went out and they burned them all out. And for 20 years, I was fine. And I've moved on from emergency medical services and eventually went into hospital leadership. And about in late October, I suddenly went into atrial fibrillation at work while I was at the hospital.
Wow.
And that led to the second procedure, which I just had, called pulmonary vein isolation, which was about 3 weeks ago.
Well, thankfully, you were actually at the hospital when that happened, yet Here's a guy who I bet knows all his numbers based on your history and, of course, the profession you're in.
Right.
So for a lot of us listening right now that are not looking in the mirror for that one, too, I don't know my numbers. Should you know all your numbers, by the way, Stacy, just by going to your doctor for just a general physical, or do you have to ask for additional tests? And are you asking for certain things after a certain age, for example?
For every individual, it really starts young. You want to know and understand what heart disease looks like. We're starting with, for instance, in our school districts within San Diego, in our Kids Heart Challenge program, making sure that the children understand how exercise leads to a healthier lifestyle, how mental well-being leads to a healthier lifestyle and a healthier heart. So no age is too young to start and understand your heart health. With that, you do want to be in front of your physician on a regular basis as you become an adult and understanding what those numbers mean. So understanding that your glucose numbers, your cholesterol numbers, your BMI, and your blood pressure all affect your heart health. We ask that you go annually to your physician and get a regular checkup. But understanding that your history will change the number and frequency in which you should see your physician, really you want to consult with your physician on how often you want to be in front of him or her.
You're listening to Living Better in San Diego. We're getting ready for American Heart Health Month, and we're talking to Stacy Weaver, the Executive Director of the American Heart Association, and Aaron Bizak from Tri-City Medical Center. Stacy, you've got a couple of important days coming up here. There's National Wear Red Day, and locally, the big Go Red for Women Luncheon, which is a can't-miss event. Tell us about both.
Heart Month is so critical for all of us in our community, and we're doing so much of the community-based needs and awareness this month. And as you just said, Susan, I think it's really important that we highlight that through these community awareness campaigns. Go Red starts on February 7th, but we will see people wearing red all month long in awareness for heart health. Go Red Luncheon is February 28th. We're going to be at the beautiful U.S. Grant this year. And so we are very quickly filling up the seats and would love for individuals to come out and join us in the awareness of heart health for women. And then we have North County Heart Walk and Stroke Walk, which is in collaboration with Tri-Cities Medical Center on March 7th. And we're going to be at the beautiful Flower Fields.
That's right. It's going to be a great location, a wonderful opportunity for people to come out, learn more about heart health, and to engage in physical activity.
Oh, I've been part of many of your walks, and afterwards, nobody leaves because it's always like a celebration party with lots of booths and music, that kind of thing going on again?
That's exactly what we're going to have at the Heart Walk.
Attaboy.
So it's going to be a great event.
Is this your first year having the Heart Walk at the Flower Fields?
It is. We've had 2 years previously in the North County area, but we decided the Flower Fields, they're actually kicking off the Flower Fields opening that same week.
Oh, wow.
And so we think it's a brilliant way of being able to have a beautiful setting and do some easy one step to exercising. Start your campaign there in getting up and moving.
And make it fun. You know, it's not an exhaustive walk. It's a very flat area. So if anybody's concerned that they have to be, you know, tip-top shape to do this, it's just like you said, it's more about creating awareness. Plus, get ready to see this all over social media too. I always see women posting pics wearing their red, which is just a really great way to spread the word and create awareness about February being Heart Health Month.
That's exactly right. I mean, we're trying to elevate the profile of this issue. We're trying to get as many people involved as possible. I know Tri-City Medical Center is doing a tremendous amount of work in the community on this issue. We're actually on Go Red Day. We're going to be taking a big picture of all of our staff members wearing red in front of the hospital and pushing it out on social media as well.
Oh, that's going to be an awesome picture. And for anybody else that wants to join in on the fun, just use the hashtag SDGoRed. You can be part of the campaign too.
That's awesome. So I've been hearing about the Go Red campaign for a couple years now. How long has this campaign been in existence? What was the inspiration behind this?
It started 15 years ago, and it really started with a collaboration of the individuals within American Heart Association realizing that we needed to get the awareness to our women in our community that heart health is impacting them, because for so long, everyone thought this was an aged disease,
sure,
something that only affected elderly. And we wanted to ensure that individuals, both men and women, understood their heart health, but specifically women, as I mentioned before, because it does present differently in women.
Yeah, and as you also point out here, people thought it was something that happened to someone who was older and to men, because women aren't taking as good care of themselves often as we should. This is really putting such a great focus on this, especially as we talked about earlier, that heart disease is the number one killer of women and more than all cancers combined. That is just unbelievable. Is there also a risk for different ethnicities?
Yes, it does affect disproportionately our minority communities, which includes the Latino and African American communities. 40% of the Latino community is affected by heart disease and 46% for the African American community.
And what do you attribute that to? Is it lifestyle, family history?
Yeah, it's a combination of all of those things. Unfortunately, we do have the root causes of heart disease is what American Heart Disease is really looking to solve. So looking at our community and understanding what the root causes are, again, about the way people are able to eat. So access to food, not just telling somebody to have more greens on their tables, but which is extremely important, but understanding that not all individuals have access to food. So understanding what that looks like and how that affects, there are four key risk factors for cardiovascular disease related material from mortality: race, age, hypertension, and obesity.
Also, I read that there's a lot of people that are on limited incomes and they're not always making the healthiest food choices with their money, maybe going to fast food places instead, and it's really hard to eat healthy there.
It also can be a matter of convenience.
It's also a matter of availability. Exactly. I mean, there's a number of food deserts and issues that we deal with, and that is in minority communities or lower socioeconomic communities, what is the availability of fresh fruits and vegetables and other healthy options? And oftentimes, they're just simply not available. And so those are some of the things that Tri-City, in particular, in partnership with the American Heart Association and other community groups, is looking at. How do we address the food deserts? How do we make healthy foods more readily available in communities that need it?
Yeah, I live actually in a food desert. I live in City Heights, which is considered a food desert, and I have to go quite a way to get to a grocery store. And that kind of sparks on this question I had of whether it's this an economic issue, you know?
Well, I think economics definitely plays a role in it. People from lower socioeconomic background tend to have less access to healthcare services. That's what I was talking about when I was a kid, you know, one of the challenges I faced. And actually, one of the reasons I left emergency medical services and went into healthcare policy and hospital leadership is because of what I was seeing. This trend of people who come from certain backgrounds not having meaningful access. And so that's why I've dedicated my entire career and our partnership with the American Heart Association and things like that to trying to elevate access for people, to try and change those societal issues that are leading to people having poor outcomes.
So let's talk about that. Beyond the month of February, are there any programs that you guys have that can teach people how to feed their families healthier and maybe be a better example to their kids?
Yeah, so it's a combination of the education and awareness. Again, we have programs like our Kids Heart Challenge. So we're going into school districts and understanding and educating the students, which we know then they go home and talk to their parents and they're a big influencer on what is bought at home and what is the influence at home. And then the second piece is it's an awareness campaign that we do all year round. It isn't just about the 1 month. It is all year round about educating and understanding what are those components. And then we are looking at collaborations like with Tri-Cities and making sure that we go into those root causes and solving those food deserts, solving the issues with tobacco use, solving the issues with blood pressure. People don't even know what their numbers are. So understanding that's a silent killer and being able to educate. So we have programs that we've done year round with going into faith-based communities to bring awareness to the individuals who don't have access to health care in the same way. And we're going into those faith-based communities where they live, where they play, and where they pray to give them awareness on what the blood pressure numbers are, not just once, but several times through the year, and then giving them ideas on how they can change their blood pressure numbers.
Let's talk about smoking. You touched on that earlier. When someone quits smoking, how long does it take for them to really no longer be at risk? My mom passed away from what they called base of tongue cancer. It wasn't throat cancer, it's base of tongue cancer, which is only caused from smoking. And she quit 5 years prior, but I remember so clearly when she got diagnosed, the doctor said, your window to watch for cancer is 10 years after your last cigarette. 10 years.
Well, I think it's important to note we're not physicians, right?
Correct.
So it's a little bit difficult there, but it's never too early for people to stop smoking. I know my mother-in-law smoked for many years. She smoked since she was 13 years old. And recently, about 5 years ago, gave up cigarettes because she knew that in order for her to live a long and healthy life and to be able to be with her grandchildren, she was going to need to do that. And her health has changed dramatically as a result of that. And so I look at anyone who's been smoking, even if you've been smoking for a very long time, it will take time to repair. But it's an important thing to stop right now. And the American Heart Association, Tri-City Medical Center, all have resources for smoking cessation. And we make a lot of effort in the community on the prevention side to stop young people from ever making the decision
yes.
to smoke, which right now is a big problem with vaping, because vaping exactly. is leading an entire new generation into smoking cigarettes.
My brother vapes, and yet we lost my mom because of smoking. And I try to tell him, you shouldn't do that. Like, what are you doing? He said, oh, no, it's safe. Vaping is not safe. I think that's one of the things that young people don't really understand. You're still taking those carcinogens into your lungs, correct?
Well,
I mean, I know there's a big campaign now about this,
yeah.
and this is a very, very hot issue. We probably should have you. We could do a whole show just on this. But tell us about where you guys stand when it comes to vaping.
Well, the American Heart Association is dedicating quite a bit of money right now. It's what we raise money about, is the American Heart Association, towards studying the impact of vaping. You see efforts that are coming out of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention that are starting to highlight some of the dangers of vaping. The fact of the matter is while you may not be inhaling the same tar that you do in, you know, the burning cigarettes, the fact of the matter is that we don't know exactly what it is that you're bringing in. We have significant lung issues that are arising in youth mm-hmm. across the country. And the fact of the matter is that you are actually getting addicted to nicotine.
Yes.
It's just it's simply a different delivery device.
And just to put a fine point on that, 1 in 4 high school students in 1997 smoked combustible cigarettes.
Yeah.
In 2010, we were so excited in America. The work that we did to elevate the age here in California to 21, the work we did from an advocacy standpoint in legislation across our states really changed that to being 1 in 10. The number now, this year, is 1 in 4 again.
Oh, my.
That's what I heard.
And what's horrifying to me is to see how quickly young people are affected that are only vaping. When you see these otherwise young, healthy junior and high school kids end up hospitalized and we don't know why, that is scary.
We had a very long campaign in the United States and in California in particular to educate people about the dangers of smoking combustible cigarettes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The unfortunate part is a relatively short period of time, people have been lying and saying that it's totally safe to vape.
Sure.
That it's a safer alternative.
It's a safer alternative. Yeah. And so we end up in a situation where you have 300 plus different flavors of vape product. They're not doing that because they want you to stop smoking. They're
right.
doing that because they want to appeal to a new generation of people who could become addicted to nicotine.
And I understand one of the ways they're trying to fight this until we can figure out how to do just that is by banning some of those flavors like bubblegum that appeal to just kids. So I'm happy to hear that you guys are investing in research that so desperately needs to be done on this topic.
Yeah. I'm a former smoker, and I won't say that I never smoke anymore, but I stopped smoking regularly when I began running. So, you know, exercise, incorporating exercise, changing my lifestyle, I really had to choose one or the other because I couldn't run a half marathon and smoke cigarettes at the same time. So, I mean, if we're advocating for people to, you know, to have a healthier lifestyle, I think, and make healthier choices, that could be a good alternative or a good way to help people. You know?
Yeah, whatever inspires people to do it. Actually, Erin, you brought it up a little earlier, too. For a lot of people, it's not only getting their arms around their own health, it's for their children, for
right.
their grandchildren, that they still want to be there. When you know that you might not be alive long enough to see, you know, your kids graduate high school or ever get married or have their own children. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that really affects people and really gets to them to the core to make some serious changes in their life.
And I'll tell you something. It's something that's hit me recently because the first time I had a heart procedure, I was 22 years old. I didn't have kids. And now I do have kids. I have a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old. And when this most recent issue came up, it was a very different feeling than what it was previously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I unfortunately, when I went into atrial fibrillation, I was in a situation where I had to get shocked in the emergency room with a defibrillator. And as somebody who had previously always been on the shocking end of it, the shocker end of it, you
yeah.
know, as an emergency medical technician and working on ambulances, I had a sudden epiphany like, wow, this is serious. This is no joke.
Yeah.
And now I'm 42 years old and I'm not getting any thinner, that's for sure, over time, you know, as time goes on. And so this entire situation has caused me, even as somebody who's an advocate for these issues, who talks about this all the time, to take a step back and say, I need to be doing other things. I need to be making significant changes in my own life. You can't just preach it to the folks. You have to live it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I've never had cigarettes. I've never even had alcohol in my life or anything like that. I don't have caffeine. So I have a good head start, but I need to exercise more. And I think there's a lot of people out there like myself who get so involved with work, or they're so involved with the family and taking care of the kids, that it becomes not a priority anymore. And right. It really has to be a priority.
And you know, you've got a 5-year-old, you know, this is a great time to start teaching that child. And it doesn't mean you have to go out and start running marathons. You know, people think you have to go from 0 to 60. You don't. Just get out in the backyard, play with your kids, throw around a football, go have some fun. Just don't be home just sitting in front of a TV or just not being active and involved with your kids. And a lot of times, you know, they say when people look back at their lives, it's not, oh, I wish I worked harder. It's, I wish I spent more time with my children. I wish I focused more on the real joy in my life. And that really will be so helpful for your family to get out and be involved and just go have fun together.
Absolutely. And Sue, it's really about just making simple, small steps. Mm-hmm. Make a couple. You know, the biggest choice one can make is to not smoke.
Yeah.
That's a huge choice,
sure.
Right, that we have to make. And for not just for us, but for our children, and to show them that that is something that we made a choice to not put in our lives. But simple choices to go on a walk every evening,
mm-hmm.
simple, tiny steps make such a difference in your health every single day.
Just like my friend Yvonne over there, I'm totally inspired by you and the changes that you've made, not just about giving up smoking. She goes for walks all the time during work, and
yeah.
I feel guilty when she's like, Sue, do you want to go out for a walk? I'm like, I can't. I have so much work to do. But you're right. If she was still smoking, there's no way that you could go running the way that you do and go for those long, long walks.
Well, you know, when you say that, I think that a lot of people feel like they don't have time to get up and go for a walk at work. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people, I know many people in this office who work through their lunch breaks. And that's something that I have decided, I'm not going to say I won't do it or I've never done it, but I try not to do that because I feel like taking the time to go out and go for a walk on my lunch break,
mm-hmm.
get some fresh air, clear my head, because it's also about being well mentally, will make me a more productive person in the long run, you know?
Yvonne, I think it's fantastic that you've taken those little steps. And we see every single one of our survivors say they wish they would have made those steps before they had their heart attack or their heart condition issue. So, you know, making those steps early on and teaching our children to make those steps early on is critical. We have a colleague in our office who goes and takes a walk anytime he's on a call mm-hmm. where he's not the speaker or the person who's handling the call. He listens and takes a walk, and he's lost 40 pounds over this
wow.
last year
wow,
just
great.
By doing that and cutting out sugary drinks.
You know, I got my Fitbit on and it's kind of helped me to focus not only on how many steps I'm doing, but my sleep and all that. And I love it. I see people that are wearing them here at the office, and our office is kind of built in a circle here. And people are doing just what you say, Stacey, on their phone. They're just kind of walking around in the circle. They're walking. I see them pass by my studio all the time. They're getting their steps in. Even at lunchtime, get outside, go for a walk just around the building. Go outside, get some sun on your face. It just feels good. It's kind of a stress reliever too. Small little baby steps, but we really want women to focus on being heart healthy. Remember, the Go Red for Women campaign is all February, but the official day to wear your red and post all your pics is February 7th, right?
Right. Everyone in red on February 7th.
And don't forget to share those pics of you looking all beautiful in your red and share the message that you are committed to being heart healthy. Remember, it's hashtag SDGoRed. Easy.
So let's bring it back here. We're going red for February. Can you tell us one more time, what are your priorities? What are you focused on?
This year, we are really looking at engagement in the community around blood pressure awareness, tobacco elimination, and food access. Those are the three major campaigns, and we're doing that, again, in collaboration with Tri-Cities and other organizations like Tri-Cities in ensuring that our community has the most important access to health and well-being.
The American Heart Association's got a lot going on, not just in the month of February. Again, the North County Heart Walk is at the Carlsbad Flower Fields, beautiful location with that gorgeous ocean view, and it's March 7th?
Correct.
Now, what do we need to do to sign up for that? Where do we go?
You can go to heart.org/NCSD Heart Walk. That would stand for North County San Diego Heart Walk. Or you can call 858-410-3827.
Okay, so just to recap, the North County Heart Walk is March 7th at the Flower Fields in Carlsbad. February 7th, though, is National Wear Red Day. Don't forget to post your pics using the hashtag SDGoRed. And then February 28th is the Fab Go Red for Women's Luncheon at the U.S. Grant Hotel downtown. Just a few things you guys got going on these days. Remember, though, if your New Year's resolution for 2020 was to get healthy, this is a great way to do it. You don't need hours at the gym. Just make small little changes. It'll have a big impact on your heart, your health, your life. Hey, listen, that's all good, right? So thank you so much for joining us today. Stacey Weaver, the Executive Director of the American Heart Association, Aaron Bizak from Tri-City Medical Center, and a survivor I just still can't believe 3 weeks ago had his procedure. And I thank you so much for even coming in today. You're a rock star.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're a warrior. I'm so impressed. I can't even stress how impressive it is. So that's it for this episode of Living Better in San Diego. If you'd like to get in touch with us or to drop a line, suggest a topic for us to talk about, email me and Sue at livingbetter@entercom.com.
Once again, Stacey and Aaron, thank you so much for stopping by this morning.
Thank you.
And thanks for sharing part of your Sunday morning with us, too. Remember, if you want to reach out, it's livingbetter@entercom.com. I'm Sue DeVinson, along with Yvonne Ermey. We'll catch you next Sunday.
The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website.